ਪੰਜਾਬ 104.6 ਪਲੈਨਟ ਐਫਐਮ ਤੇ
Time now for Gospel and Scripture with Brother Len on Golden Guide.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my
God, welcome to this program, Golden Guide. The scripture says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction. From Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. So therefore, we need the Golden Guide.
Mga kaibigan at mga kapatid, magandang umaga na naman sa inyong lahat. Salamat sa Panginoong Diyos, pinag-ingatan tayo sa buong linggo. Tayo dito sa New Zealand, pati ang ating mga mahal sa buhay doon sa Pilipinas o kahit sa sulok ng mundo. Salamat sa Panginoong Diyos sa kanyang kabutihan. At shout out dyan ni Roy Hinko, Kalamba. Ingat dyan sano, God bless. Good morning, Brother Alfred. Once again, we are here.
Good morning, young man.
Oh. I am younger than you.
Oh, yes.
A little bit. Not so. Thanks be to God, Brother Alfred. And once again, do you know, before we proceed, I would like to play a song for those who are celebrating their birthday or those who have been some of them they have already celebrated or they will be celebrating next day or next week. So advance happy birthday those who will be celebrating their birthday for tomorrow or next week, and belated happy birthday to all of you those who have been already celebrated your birthday, and those who are celebrating today, happy birthday to all of you. Madam Eve, belated happy birthday. So this song's for to those who are celebrating their birthdays. So this song's for you all. The same title, happy birthday, Mahal. In English, happy birthday to you, my love. My love, brother. Okay, brother and sister, thanks be to God that we are here once again in our program. So before we proceed, I would like to play the songs because I want to serve my acquaintances, my friends, my relatives, my brethren in Christ, and my co-workers. So, happy birthday to all of you. This song is for you all. But some of you could not understand because mostly the lyrics of the song is Tagalog. But you can understand that there is words, happy birthday. Okay, brother and sister, let us listen this. And most especially those who are celebrating their birthday. Happy birthday, Aking Mahal. Ito na. Thanks be to God that we have been playing the song Happy Birthday, Mahal. So once again, happy birthday to all of you. May God bless you. May God prolong or lengthen our, your lives. And don't forget, give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Because He is the one who can add life,
yes,
can prolong life.
Yes.
Let us listen our gospel song, the title I Want to Know This Love by Anja, Mom Anja Skraal. I Want to Know This Love. Okay, brother and sister, let us listen to this very nice song, I Want to Know This Love.
Feeling weak inside.
strength. You are standing by my side. I want to know this love. I need the spirit from above. You're loving me more and more. It's worth the living for. I want to know this love.
Thanks be to God, brother and sister. We have heard a very nice song, I Want to Know This Love. God's love is perfect.
Amen.
So if there are somebody to love us, but nothing confer the love of God to all of us. So Brother Alfred, before we proceed, I ask you for pray for our to proceed or in our program.
Father God, what a privilege it is to be able to call you Father. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, that we can call you Father.
Yes.
And Lord, every minute of the day belongs to you, whether we acknowledge it or not. Help us increasingly be a people who acknowledge the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life through his Holy Spirit. Be with us today. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So you can proceed, Brother Alfred.
Well, good morning again.
To our listeners who are viewing right now.
Hallelujah. God is really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we know certain things are true about our God, that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And our God is so good that he tells us about it even before it happens. This year I've been doing a study of Genesis with a group of people, and we haven't got very far in the study. We're up to chapter 18, but we've seen already that it's a story of man's disappointments and God's appointments. The story really begins, and we all know the beginning of the story. It begins with a man we call Adam and his wife Eve, who actually had the good life going for them. They were in the Garden of Eden where God provided everything for them, and they really just had to obey one simple little command: do not eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. I guess we all know the story. They failed, and before you think, well, I would never fail, I think again, because I think we all fail often. But that led to an appointment with destiny, a destiny they did not want, and that destiny was that they would die. We know that this was a time of battle for the heart of man. God wants people who love him out of a willing heart, out of a heart that chooses God rather than the other way around. Yes, God is good, but we have adversary called Satan, and he is evil. And the battle lines were drawn by God in a prophetic utterance we find in Genesis 3, chapter 15, where God says, I will put enmity or hatred between you, talking to Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God's intention was that man should live forever, but the introduction of sin went against that plan. Romans 6:23 reads like this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life from the seed, or the seed born to woman. How was God going to fulfill his plan and do it in such a way that the significance of what he was doing was hidden from Satan, the one who would elsewise spoil his plan? Again, we read in Genesis that God enabled a bloodline of what he would call good seed. And yes, there was also a bloodline of what we could call bad seed. The good seed was represented by Seth, followed by the death of his brother Abel, while the bad seed was represented by Cain. Jesus even tells us a parable to illustrate this truth. We know it as one of the parables of the kingdom of God, and we find it in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, which I'm not going to read today, but I'll describe to you that the farmer went out and sowed good seed in his field. And as time went on, weeds came up amongst the seed, and he asked his people who had sowed the seed, who's done this? And they said, well, an enemy went out at night and sowed bad seed, and that's what we see. Shall we go out, master, and pull out the bad from the good? And the master said, well, no, don't do that, because if you pull out the bad, you will also pull out the good. We will wait till the end of the age, and then the harvest will come. Very important parable. We have to wait to the end of the age. Let God do what God can do, and we do what we can do. So throughout Genesis and many other Bible stories, we see the working out of a godly line. All the while, there's worked out an ungodly line. Further, this godly line is characterized by what we could call miracles, and were often introduced well ahead of time by prophetic voices, voices of God's servants telling people what was going to come in advance. When Abraham was just 75, the word of the Lord came to him directly that he would become a great nation or father of as many people as there were visible stars in the sky. And we see the first part of this mention in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's households to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So the story then takes some unexpected twists and turns, and I encourage you to read on from Genesis 12 and see the story for yourself. And finally, we come to Genesis chapter 18. We now see Abraham is 99 years old. The Lord is accompanied by two angels, and he comes to him and reiterates that it was through Sarah, his wife, who at the time was 89. She was well past the age of bearing children. She was a woman who had been barren up to that time, yet she was a woman who nonetheless would have a child who would carry on the heritage of the godly line or seed. We read this in Genesis 18, verses 9 to 14. When these people, these three strangers, turned up and they said, where is your wife, Sarah? There in the tent, Abraham said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. But Sarah, remember, she was getting on in the years, well past the age of childbearing. And she listened at the entrance of her camp, which was behind them. And they were already very old. And Sarah was well past able to bear children. So she laughed to herself at the thought. After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a good question. I ask you today, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year and Sarah will have a son. The story of Eli is a foretaste of another story that happened centuries later, but had also been prophesied well before. It's the story about the birth of a child, the birth of a child called Jesus Christ. It's a story so incredible that we struggle to understand its full significance. It's a story about an invasion of heaven coming to earth, not an awesome power as it could have been, but as a seemingly helpless babe. 700 years before his birth, a virgin birth, we read what Isaiah says, Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The location of the birth was given in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Very significant. Bethlehem, the house of bread. That's what the word means. And Jesus came as the bread of life into this world to be, as it were, consumed by those who would accept it. Further to this, Bethlehem was the place where they bred the lambs that were going to be used for the sacrifice in the temple. And the Lamb of God was born there. There are many other prophecies surrounding the event itself, often given by angels to such as the shepherds in fields and the wise men who we know. But let's wind back a little. The angels visited Sarah. They also visited Mary. In Luke 1:26 to 38, we read this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when Mary saw her, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departing from her. Now, unlike Sarah, Mary doesn't laugh, but accepts the word of the Lord. And again, you know, that repeated phrase, with God, nothing will be impossible. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we read this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. What was birthed on the earth that day was hope. Hope that somehow, in the midst of the mystery of world affairs that seemed so dark in their character, there was indeed a hope that would be realized. A hope that in time would become faith. Faith, we know, is defined in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. The promise of God is fulfilled. A baby is born. Hope becomes faith. And yes, now is birthed the one who would save the world. But we see hope potentially becoming faith only after the completion of another series of dark events in human history. This too was foretold in prophecy, but was never fully understood. There are at least 12 prophecies associated with the crucifixion or the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at two of them now. Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 10a. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there deceit in his mouth. He had pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Psalm 122, verses 1 and 2 read like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the word to my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. See, hope came to earth with the birth of Jesus Christ, a baby. But it's not hope that saves us, it is faith. Hope died when Jesus died on the cross, but the story was not finished. On the third day, heaven again invades earth. The power of God is demonstrated. Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Amen.
Again, this had been prophesied in Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Hope was transformed to faith on that wonderful day. The fact of the resurrection reverberates down the centuries to touch each of us today to build our faith. The resurrection and the subsequent day of Pentecost transformed his first disciples. It can transform us today. So this year we realize that the birth of Jesus Christ is only the beginning of his story. It needs an ending. It needs the ending of crucifixion and resurrection to give it meaning. For it is this that transforms our hope for a better future to faith. That yes, our God is faithful. He is the God of the impossible. He has forgiven us. We have new life in him and we accept him as our Savior. Praise the Lord. And I just want to summarize this message with 9 points. Sin entered the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. 2, the consequence of sin is death. There's simply being separation from God. 3, God had a plan to bring reconciliation with his creation as he worked to maintain a line of good seed through the centuries. Good is defined this way: listen and obey God. 4, God's plan was usually prophesied before it happened. This causes hope to arise. 5, the seed of woman was used to crush the head of the serpent. In type, this was Isaac, but later our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, born to defeat.